One day going to go up. Okay, we're taping. Today is December 18th. Okay, I'm just going to quickly read through the first three that we did. We're going to give three different etymologies of the word mushal. You want to look at Brown, Driver, and Briggs for that. Or Shimshon Avraham Hirsch has a lexicon of Hebrew words. And apply each one to a specific pasuk in Tanakh. Like, Vayisom Mishalo. What does it mean that he lifted up his mushal, the prophet did? What does that mean? Or Yechezkel uses the word mashal with chida quite often. So, let's see what those mean. Two, refer to three different types of parallelistic structures in Mishnah and give two examples of each. So, sometimes they're directly parallel, sometimes they go into chiastic parallelism. On the second page, the second, third, fourth, and fifth pages of your Chuvaret, I gave you some examples of that. Just apply them to the Pesukim, and the Pesukim are all there. But I just want you to see how that works. That's what in Hebrew... you can suffer that kind of expression, where if you did it in English, you're going to sound like Yoda. You know what I'm saying? Rich man has what to eat. Nothing to eat has the poor man. You know? Okay, so has the lazy man, let's say. Okay, so refer to that. Three, refer to the Sheva Chochmos. I wrote them on the board. There are different cheshbonos between the Rambam, Sefer Chassidim, the Meiri, and they're all based on the Pasuk in Mishlei, Perek Tes, Pasuk Aleph, Chachma Ban Tzabesa Chatzva Amudei HaShiva. She carves out seven columns in front of her house. And the house, the temple, is the Torah, and the columns in front of it serve as the servants and the pillars of wisdom that we speak of here. And you have them... You know, numbers, nature, earth, above nature, the heavens, like astronomy, astrology. Number two, sometimes branches off between physics, chemistry, biology, earth science, but they're all included in Chochmas HaTeva, that which is above nature, like Chochmas HaMazolos, Chochmas HaKochavim, music, art, construction, mind. If you branch off, some branch off to make two and three to be like three or four, what they do then is they consider art and construction to be the same. And construction is a type of art. But, you know, we consider, you know, some way we can go music, art, and construction is the same. And then they branch these two or four or five times. But they all seem to have the same thing in common over these specific examples, and then the chachma of the mind. Right? Okay. So, what did the Rokeach say about how to be well-rounded in our learning? You see, in the beginning of Perek Beis, he has a discussion there as well. It's Nebuch in my Ksaviyat. It seems that there was like a little tishtush, something that seemed to be crossed out, or seemed to be from the next page or something like that. He might have said that we should learn even more, in which case he could have opened up a YU back in the 12th century. These things were well established amongst the Hasidic Ashkenaz. Four, list three ways that the Rokeach's background emerges from his Perish to Mishlei. Why is this more likely to appear in Perish to Mishlei than in Shmuel and Malachi? So I'll give an example of how this might emerge in Shmuel. Is, you know, there's a story in Shmuel Bet where David sends a message of peace, a delegation of peace to the Ammonite king, and he cuts off half their beards and cuts off their pants and he sends them out. He greatly shames them. He wanted to fight a battle with David. And he got his battle. David took the bait and fought him. Right? He just wanted to make it look like the Arabs do today, like we're the aggressor. Right? So what the men did was they stayed in a cave until the other half of the beard filled in, and then they trimmed it all together. So the Radak says, what kind of chach mechelm is this? Why didn't they just shave off the other side and go home? True, it looks pretty strange to have, you know, a half a full beard here and then nothing. But why wouldn't they just shave the other side? Or just shave it down so that you don't have to wait so long in a cave to come back to wait 2, 3, 4 weeks. So is the Radak right? He writes, because at that time, it was an absolute shanda and a cherpa for a grown man to be seen without a beard. Right? He says, because at that time a beard was a sign of virility. And then he writes, unlike today in Narbon, where from Jewish men are clean shaven. Now, they didn't have Norelco then, so how did they manage to be clean shaven then? It's not there to put a razor to your face. So they had other things. You can't can't take a blade like this, not the side of a scissors, not a knife, not a razor. That would violate the Torah. So how are we looking like this? Because we have something that there's a screen on top of it that you do this, and you don't really get such a close shave that way. You can feel it. Take a credit card and you'll see, right? But at that time they had what's called a depilatory. The Gemara in Maseches Nazir talks about it. It's called Nasha, Nun Shin Aleph. It's a depilatory. You just put on like a piece of chalk and you just do that on the face. You cut it down as much as you can with the scissors without touching the face. That you can do. Right? And then you put that cream on and the hair falls right off. Right? So that they had. But Doc writes here in Narbonne. So you see, from this story in Shmuel, we get a picture of life in Narbonne as far as how were men shaving in Narbonne. Right? In the Perusha HaTorah, that kind of stuff might show up. There's someone on the pasuk about tattooing in the 21st century writes, what a shame, all these tattoo parlors in Tel Aviv. So he's writing in his commentary about some of his own milieu. Okay, look in your notes about why something like that is more likely to take place in Mishlei than in any other book of the Tanakh. Okay. 5. Why was the canonization of Mishlei questioned by Chazal? Discuss the differences in the way Chazal read our Mishlei and Mishlei ben Sira. Why is Mishlei's authorship attributed to Chizkiyahu? And that's what we did also in the introductory section of the class. Chizkiyahu is considered the author of all three of Shlomo's works, Koheles, Mishlei, and Shir HaShirim, in the Gemara Baba Basra. And Mishlei, actually, according to Rashi and Tosfos, is the key, because Chizkiyahu was mentioned in Mishlei. That would be sorely anachronistic, right? If not for the consideration that Chizkiyahu had a hand in Mishlei. He edited it. As the Mishnah of Rabbi Nosson says, that until Chizkiyahu, Shlomo's works went widely misunderstood. It's too hard. So the form we have today is from Chizkiyahu. But the actual chacham is Shlomo's. Whenever the rabbis have a trouble with it, just want to discuss what is this pasuk in Mishlei, they say, they don't say, what did Chizkiyahu mean by this? They say, what did Shlomo mean by this? They know who's the original author of the chacham. But the words you're reading is Chizkiyahu. Remember I compared it to Rav Avraham Bezdin with Rav Soloveitchik? Reflections of the Rav, right? The words you're reading are Avraham Bezdin's. But he says throughout the book, this is Rav Soloveitchik's Chochmah. That's what I heard in this year. You get it? 6. What is sapiential literature? That is the wisdom literature. You know, sapien from Homo sapien, right? Nature of idealism, pessimism, and realism in the books of Tehillim, Mishlei, Koheles, and Iyov. How does this pasuk in Mishlei fit in your discussion? V'yesh nispeh belo mishpat. I specifically went through that pasuk in your quotes. Perfid Gimel, Pasuk Chav Gimel, 13:23. All right? Mishlei, by nature, of course, is going to be a much more idealistic book than Koheles, which is much more pessimistic. Questlove looks at the exceptions to the rules. You know, there should be rules in the world. The Torah sets up all kinds of rules. Like you do with your children. You tell them to walk out the street. When the light is red, you're going to get hit by a car. Right? You have to set up all kinds of... You remember the rules you were taught. Most of them that you have to know for the whole life. Your whole life you learned in kindergarten. Remember that big poster? Right? You see that poster that says... put back your toys after you play with them. Don't take things that aren't yours. I remember I was on a line in the supermarket when Saddam Hussein went into Kuwait in 1991. And this kid asked his mother, he heard the name Saddam Hussein. He said, Mommy, what did Saddam Hussein do wrong? And she told him he takes things that don't belong to him. Snap. Right? Don't take what's not yours. That's a good lesson you can learn at 3. Right? Okay, so there are certain rules you're supposed to learn, and Koheles is written for when those rules don't come through. do you mean cross hit the red and the car will hit me? I cross hit the red all the time. I haven't been hit yet. And worse, I have a friend who was once waiting for the light to change on the corner and the car jumped the corner and hit him. If he had done like me, he'd be on the other side already. You get it? Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah. Those things happen, and that's what Kohelis has written. That's what Eov has written. Right? I mentioned that Tehillim seems to be like in the middle. Tehillim has its share of both ways. It has Hinei lo yanum lo yishan shomer Yisrael, because God neither sleeps nor slumbers. Right? Yesterday I was walking home from a Shiva menu with someone and asked him, so how's your boy doing? Well, he was diagnosed with cancer at a young age 5 years ago. He said he has been declared cancer-free. 5 years, not a speck of cancer. And they were making a Sudas Oda, and they're so thrilled and pleased. And they said that God is with us. God is so good. Right? Okay, other people, 5 years after their son was stricken with cancer, are asking God, why are you sleeping? Ura Hashem, Lama Tishan. Depends on, you know, who are we to judge? We're not, you know. But to Tehillim, you have the gamut of Sukkim. Kohelis seems to be, you know. Kohelis draws the conclusion, Sof Dabar Kol Nishma Sukkim Yirah. Right? In the end, you know, God, you have to still put those things aside. He tells us throughout the book, Echo B'Simcha Achmecha, go find your beloved, share life with her, and eat your bread with joy. It's not going to change those things. Those inconsistent things. But it'll make you better prepared to deal with them. Right? Okay. What does Orchos Tzadikim do for the organization of Sefer Mishlei?
So Orchos Tzadikim, I remember I gave you out. Is this? I give you one page with Ben Franklin's 13 Midos and then Charles Solanto's 13 Midos, right? So Orchos Tzadikim is basically, it's like a Shulchan Aruch of Mishlei. It codifies Mishlei. Open up to any page and you'll see that it's Avos, Pirkei Avos, Mishlei, Mishlei Chav Zayin, Mishlei Chav Vav, everything is, every page is a Gemara, Pirkei Avos, and Mishlei. So it's probably the greatest of its kind. There's plenty of things. You have the Seelos Yisharim, all kinds of Musa Sfarim. Or Orosa Musa, great Sfarim. But this is like... The Mishlei is first, certainly the earliest full book that we have of this genre. As I told you before, we have some Egyptian sources, right? And there's going to be a question later on that topic. Right? And I actually asked you... Says, why is this necessary? Why do we need organization? Because Mishlei is a phenomenally disorganized sefer. Right? Well, that's because morality can come at you from different directions, different sides on the same day. Right? You know what I'm saying? The two greatest tests of your morality will be with women and money, probably. Gezel and Arayos, as Chazal say. You'll have other tests also. Okay. So, in what parsha of the Torah do we have the closest representation of what Mishlei teaches? And demonstrate your point.
Yosef.
That's sapiential literature. What am I talking about? I'm talking about lining up your midos. Jealousy. Industry, rage. Which parsha of the Torah is the parsha that teaches us that you cannot only be in charge of your actions? Yeah, I can determine whether I'm going to drink or not, and determine whether I'm going to have that bacon sandwich or that cheese sandwich, or that bacon and cheese sandwich. Right? That's an action. Like an action. That's fine. You tell me to light a menorah, I'm going to light a menorah. Tell me not to wear Shabbos, I'm not wearing Shabbos. The challenge of Mishlei and this parsha is: Can I have a law code that even tells me how to think? Or, as my therapist might tell me, you're not in control of it. What you think just comes to you, and you can't help it. It just comes to your head, and you can't do anything about it. Can you just banish it from your head? Right? No one here, I don't want anyone to even think in your mind the song Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer for the rest of the day. Okay, so can you possibly do such a thing? Anyway, the point is that there is a parasha in the Torah that talks to you all about jealousy and not to take vengeance and to love, not to hate and all those things, right? You know the parasha yet?
It has the stories.
I don't want a story, I want the actual mitzvah. Please tell me that someone in this class can tell me which parasha has V'ahavta L'recha Kamocha in it. I want everybody here to write a letter home today and to your parents saying, I'm going to listen to Rabbi Schwartz and make sure that you didn't waste over $1 million on my education. No one in this class? Guys, we're on tape. I'm sorry. Kedoshim, thank you. Parsha's Kedoshim is the answer.
I'm Anwar, pretty close.
What is the advice of Lemuel's mother? What is she trying to do for him? And compare this to Kohelet's Perek Beis. See, in Kohelet's Perek Beis, assuming this is the same author, this guy is trying to find meaning in life through hedonism. Through all kinds of pleasures. Who could have as much pleasure as a king, right? The king is able to put forth in all kinds of food and any delights for his eyes, delights for his flesh, delights for his taste buds, or all of his senses. He can be very sensual, and that's what Perek Beis is about in Kohelet. He excites all of his senses with sound, with sights, with waterfalls, and great bountiful food and gardens and singers, right? So what is Lemuel's mother's advice to him, for which he sings Eishes Chayil? So take a look in the beginning of Perek Lamed Aleph. Find 5 psukim in Perek Gimel that are quintessential psukim of Jewish thought. Open up and you'll see this. It's an amazing Perek.
We only need 2.
Look around, you'll see them.
How am I supposed to know which is quintessential and which?
Because you'll recognize it.
Which Perek?
All right, Perek, beginning of Perek Gimel. List 3 others from the rest of Tanakh. Okay? I went over a medrash with you about what Chazal says, the pasuk that encapsulates. They're in the Torah, so you can do that from the Torah. Right? Some of them are in our liturgy, the convention. Right? Explain each one of these 8 psukim and how they are benchmarks that encapsulate a life of guidance. Be a little creative. How's that? 10. Explain the struggle between material and spiritual pursuits from Mishlei Hagra to those 3 psukim. Tet Zayin, Yud Zayin, Yud Ches. We did them in class. Take a look, please.
What do you need Mishlei Hagra?
Mishlei, the parish of the Vilna Gaon, so Mishlei.
You only gave us like 3 psukim.
Yeah, so look in there. Look up these 3 psukim. I wrote down the psukim. Question 10. Paragimel Pasuk Tet Zayin Yud Ches, chapter 3, 16 through 18. How is Chof Beis Vav an essential verse of this book? Explain it in 3 ways. Alright. Paragchof Beis Pasuk Vav, an essential verse of this book. Explain it in 3 ways. Okay. You have all Chanoch lana'ar al pi darko gam ki yazkid lo yasur mimen.
Where did the 3 ways come from?
Well, you have you have 1 parish in Rashi, you have 1 parish in the Rokeach. You can use any other parish to find a 3rd. The Malbim, the Vilna Gaon. 12. Choose any 20 psukim in Mishlei. Place the translation of each one from your Choveret alongside meaning your and determine which of these three commentaries is the translation more closely related, Rashi, Ibn Ezra, or Mitsudos.
How would you recommend getting a translation of Ibn Ezra and Mitsudos?
It's usually they'll just be simple, simple lines.
But for somebody who's not as good at reading text,
get help. Or you know what? You can substitute the Malbim. Malbim is translated. Malbim Amishle is translated. Okay. What I'm trying to help you find is a modern English translation of Mishle, you're going to see a trend, is going to fit one of these much more than the others. Alright, but you can add Malbim to this list if you'd like. What was our analysis of ancient Egyptian proverbs? What did we conclude from a comparison to our book? That there are some that are quite similar. Okay. Does that mean that Shlomo just plagiarized? No. It could mean that there are some very common thoughts out there that are quite obvious. Doesn't mean he's gonna not. Oh yeah, the Egyptians said that, so I'm not gonna include it all in my book, even though it's necessary. It's just one very, very important difference. Comparison has to do with morality that you'll include. Prove that the author of Mishle HaRokeach is the same as the author of Sefer HaRokeach. It's also in the introduction. But that also has to do, really, if you answer question 4, you're answering question 14. It's really the same idea. Right? It's just that the Sefer HaRokeach, which is a halachic work guiding the Jews of the Middle Ages in Germany and France, right? He uses Mishle, Psukim and Mishle, as much as in the other book, but he does use Psukim and Mishle to guide their process of actions, of what they should be doing. Elaborate on 5 metaphors for Torah and what it does for us in Mishle Lamed Aleph, starting Pasuk Yud.
Talking about like metaphors that are okay.
Vadim is Torah, the woman is the mother is Torah, Sachra is Torah, Rabos Bonos is Torah, they're all Torah. Use Perish Rashi for that if you'd like. 16. Describe 3 different ways women are treated in Sefer Mishle and explain the discrepancy. What's a Yisha Matzah Tov? Look there. Look at the Rokeach on that Pasuk. Perk the Zayin. Okay, beginning. Perk the Zayin. The beginning of the Sefer. Perk Zayin. Perk Zayin will give you at least 3 in that Perk alone. 17. Rambam favors a balanced approach to all our midos except for 2. What are they? And prove from Sukkim and Mishle why these 2 midos are treated differently. This is a tough one.
I'm going to find this one anywhere in the notes or here.
Well, it's very famous. I mean, I just touched upon it very early on. Is anger and arrogance. Gaiva and Kaas. Rambam says when it comes to all of your other midos, you should be down the middle of the road. But when it comes to anger and Kaas, right? You are so the Rambam got his extremes on these 2 inyanim from Chazal, but Chazal got it from Mishle. Right. Probably need to do is open up a concordance, look up the word kaas, look up the word gavoha, gva, gvalev, right, gaiva, and it'll fall out of your Tanakh. What is the difference between Chochmah and Bina, and why is one considered the province of men while the other is the province of women? There was a Nitziv I gave you for Ben, Bat, Benat, remember that? About building.
Can we read through it?
Man is a builder. Yeah, we read through it. Man is a builder, woman is also a builder. But here it has to do with, I mean, the creation of woman is Vayiven. God built woman. She's built to receive a baby. So that gives her extra bina. Being with the kids gives her bina. Man is promises chokhmah, her promise is bina. That was also in the beginning of the semester we talked about the five different levels of cognitive thinking. What did we say about being in control? What are the greatest impediments to this? Use Shmuel bet, Yud bet, Aleph through Dalet in your discussion.
Yeah, you can figure out then what.
Shmuel bet, Perek Yud bet, Aleph through Dalet. That's the parable. Get it, Mishlei? That's the parable that the prophet told David after he took Bathsheba.
Stranger, friend.
Right. The passerby, the guest, and the ish. Because Mishlei wants us to be in control. Right? 20th question is yours.
Are you over that?
Okay. Okay, Chevra, Bahatzlocha.